almost live. We're so close. And
we are so live.
We are live. Super hey, live. Folks. Super live. Thanks for tuning into the Vamp Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and we have just a whole bunch of people today. Let's start off with our guests, Meredith Gerber, Publisher Relations at Drive-Thru RPG. How are you doing, Meredith?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate you coming on board and gracing our little dog and pony show with a patina of respectability. Thank you very much. directly seated next to Meredith in the Brady Bunch grid is Adriel, who is also Publisher Relations. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are all of you?
Various states of surviving the apocalypse.
Yep.
Just got a foot of snow here in Denver, so we're kind of enjoying that.
Wow.
Well, it is wintertime, so... Yeah. And rounding out our panel, above Adriel, there is Walt Rebilliard. How you doing, Walt?
I am very upset that I never got to use the word patina in real life.
And you just did, and we could check that off for you. That's awesome. And the guy who looks like a hacker from a 90s thriller movie is Mike Mylar. How you doing, Mike?
I am thinking about how much I want to use the word Cicerus, like in conversation. I always need to write it, but like you never, when I'm like, I heard a Cicerus, like nobody says that. So thinking, that's what I'm doing. How's everybody else doing?
Thanks for joining us, Mike. Appreciate it. You can find Mike's work in the fine tomes published by Ian World Publishing.
Oh, and also at epic5e.com.
Oh yeah, that's coming out like super soon, right?
Yeah, it launches next month.
Oh, sweet. Okay, let's make sure we mention that. And next to Adriel and Mike, we have Jacob Blackman. How you doing, Jacob?
I have no smart words on the audience.
Stochastic is always nice.
So I don't know what you just said. That's not even English.
I am an illustrator, not a writer. So if you want smart words, you need to talk to someone else.
Well, no worries. So we'll talk to Meredith. Meredith, tell us what is the haps at DTRPG these days?
Oh, goodness. We have a lot of stuff going on. And Adriel, feel free to interrupt me if there's anything I'm missing. We have Astro's coming along really, really well. We now can have it where community content authors, so for like Miskatonic Repository, Savage Worlds, things like that, they can make essentially Astral modules of their titles. Publishers can do that right now, but now we have it open to community content program, which is really exciting. And the steps are in our publisher knowledge base for those who are interested. We are going to get it into our customer knowledge base as well, which will be good. Working on that right now. What else is happening, Adriel?
You guys just revamped your Discord, right?
Yes, we revamped our Discord. Super huge. Okay. Our Discord is a great place for publishers to get in touch with us, and it unfortunately got huge. I mean, in a good way. I don't mean like unfortunately. Like, I'm so upset to see these people. Like, I'm very happy to see these people. But we revamped it to essentially where it now has security essentially to get in, and where people have to like put their publisher name and put a name for us that we can call them. And that's been really helpful for us because a lot of times we would have like, you know, Bunny Shoes 29 being like, my publisher account, I can't get in. And I'm like, what's your publisher name? And then it's Radio Silence. We're very excited about that. It's just making the Discord a lot cleaner and easier to communicate with us and then for us to communicate with other publishers too, which is really good.
You know, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead and I'll come to the bad news.
Oh, thank you for falling on that sword, Adriel.
Really, no problem.
That is a good coworker. She's willing to jump on that grenade.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, like, they consistently are taking one for the team. And they're also very deep into the saddle stitch aspect, more so than I am. So I appreciate all their work and falling on swords for me.
Well, the one thing I was going to say is if I'm going to be a good host, we really should get the invite link for your Discord so we can put it in our show notes.
Yeah, heck yeah. Right now. Literally, right now.
And so that's the thing. Oh, I'm sorry, please.
Oh, no, you go ahead, Paul.
I can't. My grandfather would slap me from the grave for interrupting a woman.
So, The bad news is that our printer for our print-on-demand books has canceled Lightning Source across the canceled Lightning Source, canceled Saddle Stitch.
They canceled all of it. The whole company's been canceled.
Yeah. So even so, like, not only our POD stuff, but also in their business outside of our work with them, they're no longer offering Saddle Stitch to anyone. And so what we've done is we talked to them, we got them to agree to convert some of our titles for us from Saddle Stitch to Perfect Bound. And we've let every publisher that we know about who has a Saddle Stitch title know that this change is coming. And since I've got an audience here, I just wanted to say that, like, the conversion process for a Saddle Stitch title is super easy if you're a publisher, because the only thing you have to update is your cover. You need to create the new cover template that is linked on our publisher knowledge base and make a Perfect Bound cover and then upload it to our site. And Meredith, is it the 1st or the 8th of March that publishers can start uploading those new covers?
They can do it right the frick now.
Yeah.
Lightning Source conversion, if their titles are, because Lightning Source converted some of them, and that starts March 1st. But publishers can get in essentially now. So,
all right, cool. Is there a link we can direct folks to if they have questions about that?
Yeah. Adriel's email.
Yeah. I was going to say,
I'll just put their email in here. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
So I know when people like myself who are, you know, like small potatoes, you know, I have a decent following on of my products, but I'm not, you know, one of the giants of the industry. And when I go into someplace like Discord, it's like the country kid who's walking into New York, the middle of New York City for the first time, you know, and it's like all this traffic just going crazy, right? Is there a good way to navigate the Discord now that so that
yes. Yeah. Wait, so originally we had like 8 million. That is not true, but we had so many freaking channels because people would be like, can I have a channel for like how to like lay out a hardcover? You know what I mean? It got super, super specific. So now it's down to, I think, like 12 channels for you to pick from. And like the ones that are most important that you're going to use are ask a publisher service representative, which Adriel or I will take care of, and then self-promotion. So like it's way easier to navigate, and it's not hard to get into, and it can be very, very cool. Oh, one of my favorite people in the world.
He is awesome. Yes.
Yes.
Lewis Porter Jr. And yes. Who wants to do Lewis Porter Jr. for those of us listening in beautiful audio has just weighed in with a question. And who can do a good Lewis Porter Jr. voice? Because I just have one voice and it's just slightly deeper than my speaking voice.
No, he's got one of those voices. Got one of
his own voices.
Yeah.
Wrong gear for that, man.
All right, I'm just going to do the usual voice I do for every commenter, which is just slightly deeper than my own speaking voice, from Lewis Porter Jr. Will we get more back-end analytics and marketing opportunities that can be used with publisher promotion points, PPP?
In Phoenix, we are going to have more opportunities for publishers to use publisher promotion points. We have some publishers who never use them, even smaller publishers, too. Like I logged into one today, and they had a couple thousand use those. But as of right now, in the future, yes. If you want to talk to us about how you can use them, or like if you're using them properly, essentially, we're more than happy to help on that. Because we have a lot of times where like publishers will use like the featured product message on brand new titles, which is not great because you're already getting exposure elsewhere for your news titles. So you should be focusing on titles that essentially have like flatlined in sales, little things like that. So, yeah.
And we've got, now that we have a YouTube channel and we've got a lunchtime stream on Thursdays, we've done like 2 or 3 marketing videos now that talk about publisher promotion points and also talk in general about good ways to use our site for marketing for your titles.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And those are up on YouTube as well. So,
do you guys have a link for a YouTube channel that could be useful?
I bopped it in the private chat. I'm already ahead of you.
You are on top of it.
YouTube.com/onebookshelf, all letters.
Super, all right. Super simple.
Yeah. You guys are doing my job for me. I'm just going to sit back. All right, cool. I'm going to put that up as a banner. Okay, so that's going on. Let's see. What else is up? GM's Day sale.
Coming in March. Don't know the specific date, but it's coming in March. So definitely publishers should check their opt-in, opt-out options on under promotion on their publisher hubs, because if you are not opted in and you come to us and say, why wasn't I in the sale? We will say, because you're not opted in. So
yeah.
And what's nice about it too is over the past couple months, we have made it essentially more granular where you can say, I don't want, you know, these five brand new titles anywhere near a sale ever, you know, until you adjust that. But I always tell people to check their opt-in, opt-out at least once a month anyway, even if we're not doing a sale, because it's good to do that. So.
And I guess it bears reemphasizing that the GM's Day sale is one of the big sales spikes for DTRPG. So people should really get in on that.
Yeah.
So.
Always good stuff there too. Always, always.
And one of the nice things about that tool is you can specify the maximum discount you're willing to go up to. So if you're like, yeah, I want to put all my titles on sale, but for no less than 20%, you can absolutely do that.
Yeah. Very important too.
We have another question from the comments from Sean Vera, frequent viewer. Thank you, sir. I'm doing the same voice. Forgive me. I have a question. I would love it if after I purchased a PDF and later want a hot cover, I can get the discount. It really hurts when I get a PDF, then months later it's available in print and I have to purchase again at full price. Just teaches me not to buy anything early.
Okay, so
something a publisher deals with, right?
Like yeah, when it goes
live and hardcover, you should they should be sending you a message, Sean, being like, "Hey, it's in hardcover now. You bought the PDF. Here's a discounted coupon." So
yes. For our publishers, I mean that's a great thing I'd like to bring up, Mike, is because like they can do that where they can create a discount, send it to literally an email, and click like all people who bought Super Cool RPG Volume 2, and they can send that out to their customers. But because I wish that we could do that, but it's completely up to the publishers. I always suggest publishers do all their formats like that they want before releasing. That way everyone has options. But sometimes publishers will do it later, unfortunately. So that's on publisher. So,
and FYI, publishers, you will sell more if you offer the hardcover when you drop the PDF, if it's a simultaneous thing.
Like, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And it's weird because, like, not only will you sell more of the hardcover, but you'll sell more of the digital edition as well. Because it just, it's a psychological thing. But, and if you need any help getting that set up, email that publisher services email address and I will totally help you.
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
And like, when people buy more copies of anything, it just goes up in metrics, right? So, like,
Yeah. So it's all good things.
Yeah.
Going back to the Discord, are you guys using a lot of the tools for Discord as far as the interconnectivity and interactiveness of Discord, such as video features, video sharing, live chats and stuff like that, so that you guys are more connected with your audience?
So not yet. That's something that we're going to be looking into, especially because I'm stealing Mike's idea because he brought it up and I'm stealing it right now.
Steal from the best.
Sorry. This is what happens. We do want to do essentially the one thing we are planning on doing soon is a town hall where Adriel and I just kind of sit there and people can just ask whatever questions they want, as opposed to doing it essentially like on Twitch, how we've been doing, because that's more formatted. So that's something we're going to look into in terms of live chat. That's something we're still researching. So possibly we will see. Yeah. As of right now, people can quote unquote live chat with us now in the Discord. In that regard, we get back pretty quickly on that. So,
all right, I have another question from Lewis. Let me get that up, and there we go. We will be developing a system to make it easier for publishers to team up and work together on sales and marketing
in the new site. Yes, and we never ever discourage ever of publishers teaming up to get together. Yes, I know that's not really your expertise. Will you have something like that? It's something that we can and will take to our production manager specifically, because when they're still building the site, like that's still happening, which is pretty exciting. But I definitely think that should be absolutely, because right now y'all can do cross bundles, which is really, really nice. And something I suggest, because a lot of people are like, we're just going to do this for charity. You don't have to just do that for charity. Like if you and some friends want to get together and make a cool bundle just to make a cool bundle, then go for it. You know, we're definitely encourage it.
And yeah. Go ahead, please.
Speaking of charities, we are adding some new ones that are more related to TTRPGs, which we're super, super excited about. Cause like we want to make it easy for publishers to give to charity, because we want to give to charity too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is the RPG Creator Relief Fund on the list?
We will check.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a great question. We'll check.
It'd be very relevant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lisa Penrose, who is our DMs Guild brand manager, is essentially like our charity queen and is taking care of all the charity stuff. So we will definitely tap her and double check.
Okay. Hey, I'm talking about bundles. Zines have been a big deal this month because it's Zine Quest 3 at a little site called Kickstarter. Some of you might be familiar with. And in a zine group on Facebook, we were talking about maybe we should all get together and do some kind of a joint zine, you know, on DriveThru. Try to, you know, keep some of the enthusiasm going. And I was thinking it'd be kind of cool if DriveThru did something with zines because, well, they're kind of a thing now. And you guys are sort of the biggest marketplace for indie RPGs. So have you guys given any thought to that? Or
I am 100% going to let Adriel take care of this because they're in the thick of it. Like,
yeah.
They've done, you've done a ton of zines. So,
yeah. So as myself, I've done one Kickstarter for a zine on Zine Quest 2. And as Ninth Level Games, which I am a part of, we've done a lot of zines. I can't remember how many. It's close to 12. I love the zine format. And something that has been really interesting is watching zines evolve from, you know, I printed at home on my printer, I folded it in half and I stapled it together, to these full color gorgeous books that are almost, you know, just a regular title project. But I think the idea of it being a zine is less, it feels less intimidating. So it helps people get their games out there. We haven't done a zine sale, but it's something that we'll be talking about, because you're right. It is getting, like, the industry is really like, oh yeah, zines, this is a format that we can really get behind. One of the reasons I didn't want to push on it this month was because of the timing of Saddle Stitch. So I wanted to keep our focus on, like, hey, we've got your back with smaller titles. We're going to make sure, and I mean smaller in the sense of fewer pages, we're going to make sure that you can get your print-on-demand books. So it'll probably be something we would look at later in the year when the Zine Quest is, like, sort of trending downward and, like, let's bring it back and focus on, hey, these are the titles that came out in Zine Quest 1, Zine Quest 2, Zine Quest 3, and beyond. I just Zine Quest is my favorite Kickstarter holiday.
that's good to hear. I got a couple more questions from the commenters. And there's one I missed completely from Lewis.
Oh no.
Sorry. Well, okay, let me get that now. I'll come back to you, Sean. Sorry. Lewis Porter says, are you going to reach out to B&M brick and mortar and digital retailers to find a way to get them selling PDF digital items even as an affiliate?
So we haven't reached out to, but that's actually a good thing, Adriel. We should bring that up actually, because publishers can do that on their own, essentially, that they can have that option. But that's something Lewis always has, like, the best ideas, and like we just go back with like a laundry list of things. We're like, that's the following, and like, so that's something we will bring up. Thank you very much for that idea. So, but yeah, publishers now can sort of do that already with brick and mortar. I know that our Artelosaurian did it very specifically with Brick and Mortar. They made that like absolutely their top priority when Red came out. So
yeah.
I know when we dropped Supers in 2014, at the time I was still working kind of close with the comic book industry, and I was going to a lot of shops, and a lot of times they would have RPG material. And I would say, hey, listen, you know, what would it take to get my products in your store? So I would order them from drive-through at cost. I would bring them to the store. I'd give, you know, a very deep discount to the store owner, saying, you know, look, I'm making nothing on this. I just want it on the shelf.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things I would do with every copy, I would slip in like a little card with, and it's really cheap if you buy like these removable poster tabs, right? You just put one in the back. It won't damage any of the binding or anything like that, right? And you stick a like a little business card on there with a either a URL or a QR code, and I would that whoever got that product, they would get that digital for free.
Yep.
So and it worked very, very well. A lot of people by word of mouth, and I've had continued orders for that product. So yeah, it worked very well.
Yeah.
Well, that is a great idea, because in my publishing hat, I've just noticed that distribution is really, one, difficult for smaller folks to get into, and two, it's not being stocked as heavily as it used to be. So going direct to retailers is huge, huge, huge for a publisher.
And with as prolific as Facebook is as far as their communities go, I try not to spam like my family, you know, with like, hey, this is my latest superhero thing. And I also want to point out real quick before I forget, I just want to note that Lewis Porter Jr. has been doing stuff for Mutants and Masterminds and has proposed team ups for that. I just want to point out it was a superhero guy that talked about the team up. But like, you know, going on certain groups like Superhero RPG Facebook group or, you know, different message boards and saying, you know, hey, if you know a store that you'd like to get my products into, and reach out to your fans, say, hey, look, do you want to see my stuff in the stores that you visit? Let me help support these local retailers. So one of the things it does is it gets that local your visibility in that local retailer, so that you have eyes on physical product. It supports the local retail and supports the local business, making that customer that you've had distally, he now has a sense that you're plugged in and want to take care of him. But at the same time, it also brings everything back to drive-through where the products are being hosted, because they can go on there, get their digital thing. And, you know, it's, you know, you get good also bots that shoot up and say, hey, you know, you just purchased this product. You know what else you might like, you know, and while that is a benefit to you guys, it's also a benefit to like the first time RPG player who might not, because like I just recently had a guy never played an RPG before. Somebody sat him at the table and they played Supers for the first time. And he said, you know, this isn't hard. I thought this would be a lot harder than it is. And, you know, he reached out and said, hey, you know, where can I find more of your products and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, where are you? And he said he was in Pennsylvania. I said, these are the three stores that carry my product. And, you know, tell so-and-so, who I have a really good relationship, if you're anywhere close to that, please tell him I said hi and he'll take care of you. And the store owner contacted me and said, hey, he came in here, bought a bunch of dice. You know, you bought your GM screen. I was like, oh, right on. Right on. That's awesome.
Awesome.
Can I briefly touch on the logistics of this for a little bit? So I also do brick and mortar for local like game stores and stuff. But the problem that they have is that like the business model strongly supports using the main distributors. When I say strongly supports, I mean that when they place an order over $300, they do not pay any shipping at all to what is it, Diamond? Or is that the one that went out? Yeah, Diamond. Yeah,
there's Alliance, Diamond.
Right. Yeah. Like two or three. And anyway, they don't pay shipping on any of that stuff. And that's like a huge, huge drain on costs. So like if one of them decides like, oh, okay, well, I ran out of Mists of Kuma books, I don't want to bother Mike, I'm just going to order them off of, you know, DriveThruRPG. And they're paying like $15 a book. They're also going to be paying like $5 shipping a book. And that is like a third of the cost of the book. And then that hits into, they need to be selling at a 50% markup. And they can't do that with the way the models are right now and how the main distributors are set up.
Yeah.
So, it's tough for them to carry smaller independent books just because the way the industry is set up does not support it. Hmm. Yeah.
If as a publisher you can afford to take that hit on shipping, you can always like print your POD stuff with us and ship it directly to that retailer. You can call them up, take an order, and you know, like they'll, depending on how you set it up, you can sort of email me. Basically email me is what I'm trying to say. I will help you set it up. But having that option is huge because I know I talked to a lot of retailers this past summer and they feel that too. They're like, I can't get this from the main distributor, but I have to go to the main distributor mm-hmm. because it saves me money. And if there's a way that we can help you get your products in your friendly local game stores, we're going to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there, yeah, it's not a competition type of deal. Like we are more than happy to work with, you know, brick and mortar, and especially with our publishers who want to work with them too. So
yeah,
absolutely.
Hey, another question from the comments from
Follow
up from Sean Vera. Here we go. I'm doing my same commenter voice. Apologies. Just wonder if you give feedback to publishers about people that purchase their products. Like Kickstarter has me a super backer. My DTR library is over 2,200 entries and 63.4 gig. So wondering if you let them know about super vans or reviewers.
Well, I need more RPGs to score on myself. Big move, Don. Big note. totally. Yeah, so with reviews, if you review a title on DriveThruRPG, that notification does get sent to the publisher. So absolutely, they get those. As long as their email is set up properly, please check that and make sure that you have that set up. Because we always encourage studio publishers to interact with, you know, people in the discussions tab and check out the review tab too. In terms of like super fans and things like that, we don't have a system actually, but we do have in the new site. I keep pushing in the new site until it goes. We are going to be implementing not a super reviewer, but essentially we're going to go back to like the trusted reviewer, but more so instead of it being like a list of people, it's going to be like people who actually purchase, actually review, things like that. Kind of like, I think Amazon does it, where they have trusted reviewer, you know, that's been, you know, checked through and essentially, and they're not spam bot, all that. So hopefully, we'll be able to implement that a little bit more, but yeah, good stuff.
All right, sounds good. Hey, Jacob, you've been pretty quiet, sir. Do you have any questions, comments, thoughts?
So far, I'm just enjoying the information. I'm a big fan of DriveThruRPG. I use it all the time.
We're a fan of you.
Superpower Legends.
So, no,
Superpower Legends is something I would love to team up with the amazing universe of Lewis Porter Jr. I think that would be a nice team up book or bundle.
Are you talking about all the superhero stuff that Mike McCarthy wrote for him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Sweet. Look, this is how the sausage is made behind the scenes right here. So.
Oh my God, I'm so hungry.
You just woke up, didn't you, Will?
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, hey, let's looks like the comments have gone quiet for a second. Mike or Walt, before we wrap up, any closing thoughts or questions from either one of you guys?
Sarah, please.
Me? Oh, yeah. No, it's nice to see you, Meredith. It's been a while. I have something to email you in like a week or two. So
maybe. Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. I email Meredith all the time because I am weirdly not a publisher. I'm a design house. So I finish setting up titles. I proof them everything. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done with it. And then she has to transfer it over to
Yeah.
Is there, will the new site have the functionality where I don't have to email you all the time to do that?
So we are, I know that everyone and their mom has asked for having essentially tiered jobs essentially on DriveThru, where you can let like essentially your layout artist in where they can't touch your money. But they can touch your books and things like that. So that is coming so soon. Yeah, because I've run into that so many times where people are like, I just need my layout artist to get in, but I don't want them to come near my money. And I'm like, I get that. But so hopefully soon. Right, but then I wouldn't get any emails from you, Mike, and then I would never hear from you. So I mean,
there would be a mic-shaped hole in your day.
See?
A little colder, a little emptier.
It's a big hole.
Lewis Porter Jr. in the chat wanted to know, what is the silliest thing about drive-through that would surprise us?
Oh,
it's got to be the office parties.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
warehouse sugar gliders.
What's the silliest thing about drive-through that would surprise us? Everyone knows who our owner is.
Yeah.
Who our CEO president is. So that's not a surprise. I'm trying to think. Our site right now was
Elon Musk, right?
Yes. Also known as Steve Wick, who created White Wolf with his brother. So, I mean, like, that's kind of a What's lot of that? People know that, though.
I've never heard of White Wolf. But
they're just some company. It's not a big deal. Yeah. But yeah. Adriel, can you think of anything silly? Like, because you got into, like, you're fairly new. And I say new because they're not new. They've been around for several months. But
yeah. No. We have a surprising amount of rabbits among our company pets because we've got this awesome water cooler Slack channel where people post pictures of their pets. And oh, and you know what else? One of our folks has pigeons, which I think is totally awesome. And he has sent me pictures of them because I've begged him to, because pigeons are adorable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just love pets. That is, to me, a silly and surprising thing, like this variety of animals that we all know and love.
Something that is surprising, I feel, when I tell people is that we are not all in the same state and we're not all from the United States. That's another big thing, which makes meeting times fun.
Yes.
We have to schedule like four different time zones, which is always a good time. Yeah, I can't think of it. Now I'm going to like be like noodling it and then just like being like, oh my gosh, this is what's silly. But yeah, it's all a good time. Everyone's great.
This morning I had a meeting with Andreas, who's in Germany, mm-hmm. Mike, who I don't know where he is, and Scott, who's in Canada.
Yeah.
And so we're like all over the place. And yeah. I'm in Pennsylvania as well as your customer, Walt.
Yeah. There you go.
Pennsylvania represent.
Yeah, pretty sure Mr. Mylar is up in Pittsburgh, right?
Nice. Mylar, but yeah.
Right.
I was gonna say at EM Publishing, my boss was like, "You're not fun enough." So every week when we do our like weekly, like that's what I said. That's what exactly my response.
I've met Mike in person. Mike, when we first met, was lifted me up. I weigh over 300 pounds. Lifted me up and spun me around in place saying, aww. Oh my God, I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah. You're not fun?
Well, so now whenever we do the weekly like catch up, like yeah, this is what I did this week. I always send memes. So do you guys do fun memes? And if not, you should be doing fun memes.
Yeah, we have GIFs. We always we respond with GIFs. We have our own because we're on Slack, so we have made our own reactions.
Yeah,
they have made reactions for me because I say ding dang a lot. So there is literally a ding dang emote.
Yeah.
We play code names a lot. Trolley. That's a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we always have like we try to meet for like cocktail hour like once every like couple months, like just to kind of like be away from work and chit chat and things like that. So that's a big one.
We should have a BAMF podcast cocktail hour.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, I just want
cocktail hour.
Who's got the coolest code name?
The code name's the game.
My code name is always Mike Prime because there's always another one.
Yeah.
So I get to be the prime one and you can be whatever you want.
You got to get there first.
You have to. We have Ben 10 because we have two Bens. So one is Ben 10. I came up with that because I was like, there's too many Bens and there's only two. So we call him Ben 10. And I have slipped in like external emails and called him Ben 10. But I was like, oh, this is my production manager, Ben 10, you know, like totally fine. So. Those are the big ones. I don't think we have any other code names, Adriel. We have Uncle Steve.
Yeah,
he works at War Game Vault. I call him Uncle Steve because he's like our big uncle, and he's wonderful. So he's fantastic. And
you call Scott, who is our boss. He's our publisher relations head. You call him Moose.
Yes, because I wanted to know. about moose. Moose. I wanted to know about it because we like got on a topic essentially because he's from Canada and I was like, have you ever seen a moose? He's like, oh yeah, they're huge and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my gosh. And of course I was like fascinated with it for the next half an hour. So that's how we got that.
Do you know what the primary predator of moose is?
What?
Orcas.
Oh. No.
Yep. What is?
Orca. Moose spend a surprisingly large amount of time swimming from island to island. And orcas get up in those same tributaries. And yeah, I know. It's true. I saw a documentary.
What?
Yeah.
That is bananas. You know,
my sister carved her initials into a moose once.
How did this happen?
Be pretty nasty.
No, I'm kidding. It's from Monty Python's Holy Grail. Are you kidding me? Oh. Are you serious? Like, what?
We all fell for it. Everyone fell for it.
Wow. It's...
But the moose being eaten by orca is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Wow. See, yeah, I learned so much.
Yeah.
At the BAM podcast, we aim to be educational.
Thank you.
So, all right. Well, hey, I'm guessing we should wrap things up. We've gone up about 40 minutes. Any closing thoughts, Meredith or Adriel?
Thank you for having us. First of all, of course, we always love to pop on like every couple months, like in chit chat about drive through and all the things that are going on. And yeah, don't be a stranger. Come hang out on the Discord or come say hi over email or on the Twitters, whatever. Definitely.
From Sean Vera, Canadian here. The minister of my wife's church has had a moose hit his car 3 times. Ever since then, the moose walked away. Every single time the moose walked away, the car did not.
No.
Was it the same moose?
Well, yeah. It's like a revenge, like, you know, like writes in its journal, like being like,
saw that guy again.
Got that minister. That minister.
It's like the Liam Neeson of mooses. Yeah.
I think moose is the plural of moose, but I'm not sure.
I think it might be mooses.
Is it mooses? Hold on.
I'm pretty sure it's just moose.
So what is the plural of moose?
While you're looking that up, Mike, you asked about company sugar gliders.
Yeah.
Right? Come here. Up. Boulder, up. You want to see a 70-pound sugar glider?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a 70-pound sugar
glider. Oh, look at the baby.
So horrible.
I just want to scratch him.
Oh.
Hey. That is a Belgian Malinois.
Such a cutie.
I pulled him off the roof this morning.
What?
Yeah, he runs up the tree in the front yard and makes the 8-foot leap to the house because he hates squirrels.
Oh, I love him. I love him.
That is so cute.
Oh, yes. Dogs for the win.
Yeah.
This is one of the two dogs. This is Dolly.
Oh, what a cutie pie.
I love the ears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that a cattle dog?
Oh, we don't know. We got her somewhere in Georgia. They don't know either.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
But obviously, she knows she loves you.
Yes.
Oh, God, yes.
That's what matters.
She's a licker.
It's moose. It's moose, by the way. It's moose. It's moose. Squirrel for moose.
Okay.
All right.
Glad we solved that.
All important discussion.
Of course.
Okay. Well, hey, I think we have... I think we've drifted off subject into pets and moose. And
this is why we need a Banff cocktail hour.
See?
Well, it implies I haven't been drinking this whole time. But
I was going to say, right. Like, is that not supposed to have rum in this? I'm so sorry. I feel terrible.
What if one doesn't drink?
Hot chocolate.
Yeah.
There you go.
Coffee.
I'll take it.
It just has to be a festive drink. And okay. Yeah. Festive. Non-alcoholic drinks or mocktails. Mocktails are always good. I love mocktails.
Oh, I could use a mudslide right now.
Shirley Temples.
Yeah, Shirley Temples are the business.
Shirley Temples actually have a little bit of, I learned this after bartending and kept serving it to children before I realized like there is a little bit of alcohol in grenadine. Mm. So like,
huh?
Yeah.
Well, there is in vanilla extract too, and that goes in cookies. So.
Yeah.
Well, alcohol gets baked out, though.
Yeah, it's true. It does. So, all righty. Well, hey, thank you again for coming on. And thanks to all our listeners, viewers, and commenters, Sean and Lewis Porter Jr., especially. Appreciate you guys chiming in. And we will catch you all next time on. Hey, what question? When does the new site go live?
We don't know yet.
Sorry.
Okay. Oh, Mike, talk about your book.
Yeah.
Can you, no, just brief shameless self-promotion. Epic5e.com. There's a mailing list. Check it out. It's coming out in like a month on Kickstarter and then on DriveThruRPG.
It will supercharge your 5e game. If you don't get Mike's product, you'll regret it for the rest of your 5e playing your life.
It's true.
There'll be a big Mike-shaped hole. Callback, the highest form of comedy. All right. Hey, thanks, folks. We'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.